Hotline Washington. Hello again from the nation's capital. I'm Greg Corumbus. In this edition, Obama and the economy. Is the president telling the truth when he says his stimulus plan has already created some 150,000 jobs when we've seen hundreds of thousands of jobs lost every month since his administration started? We'll also discuss the possibility of the Obama administration pursuing a value-added tax. What would that mean on your bottom line? We'll discuss those questions and more with J.D. Foster of the Heritage Foundation. Also in this edition, Judge Sotomayor and abortion. We haven't heard that issue discussed much so far, even though it's always a major topic around Supreme Court nominees. We'll discuss that, as well as the Obama abortion agenda, with Joy Yearout of the Susan B. Anthony List. Plus, Obama's push for cybersecurity. Just how far behind the eight ball is the United States in protecting our infrastructure from hackers and others who would do us harm? And what will it take to bring us up to speed? We'll talk with Randy Scoglin, Executive Director at Americans for Technology Leadership. And lie. The Capitol steps close out the week for us by looking at Nancy Pelosi and her allegations against the CIA. All that plus our top news at week's end is straight ahead on Dateline Washington. We begin with Obama and the economy, and we begin right now. My first guest in this edition is J.D. Foster, Senior Fellow in Economic Policy at the Heritage Foundation here in Washington. We want to get his thoughts on a variety of economic stories, including President Obama's claim that a stimulus package has already created some 150,000 jobs in this country. We also want to get his reaction to the possibility of a value-added tax being added to our economy in efforts to pay for health care reform and some other spending priorities. And J.D., thanks so much for being with us.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
Well, the president made this statement about the 150,000 jobs either created or saved out in Nevada in touting the economy and where he wants to go in terms of an energy economy as well. What do you make of that? How can we gauge what the actual job creation benefit has been from the stimulus plan?
You simply can't. What you have to look at is the fact that since the president put forward a stimulus plan and put it into action, we've lost about 2 million jobs total. Now, if you've lost 2 million jobs nationally, to be talking about having somehow saved 150,000 jobs by any means is frankly obnoxious and outrageous. The economy is in a downslide. They've put in some of the money. Some of the money from the stimulus has been spent. There is no stimulus from that stimulus spending, of course. That's all just pushing monies around in the economy. But when the economy is contracting as rapidly as it is and we're losing jobs as rapidly as we are, it is just outrageous for the president to stand up and say that his program has created any specific number or any number of jobs at all.
J.D., what percentage of the money has been spent so far, and where has it gone? You mentioned it's been kind of shuffled around inside the economy.
Right. Well, I don't have an exact figure as to where how much has been spent at this point. It trickles out. Some of it, the tax cuts, some of the tax cuts went quickly. Some of the money checks that were sent to seniors went quickly. But in terms of spending itself, that takes time. The federal government is really good at spending lots amount of money, but it is not good at increasing the rate at which it spends money. That takes certain processes, and that's why a lot of the money is not going to be spent even by the end of next year. A very large share of the money under the stimulus bill still won't have been spent by the end of 2010. It spends out very slowly, and even if it were to spend out quickly, it doesn't improve the economy because, again, it just shuffles money around. The federal government doesn't wave a wand to create this purchasing power. It borrows it. And when it borrows the money from the credit markets, that money that they borrowed is no longer available to the private sector to use. So it's shifting demand in the economy, not adding to it.
So given that premise, then, even if we start to see economic recovery, which even reflects in the jobless numbers over the coming months, it might not necessarily be due to the stimulus package.
Well, we do expect that the economy should begin to stabilize. That doesn't mean, however, that it's going to grow fast enough to prevent the ranks of the unemployed from increasing. Even the president's own chairman of the Council of Economic Advisors expects continued job loss for many months. Whatever happens with employment, though, we know that the stimulus had nothing to do with it. The stimulus will have not done anything to improve employment or reduce it because, again, you're just moving monies around. You can't create jobs by federal government spending money. You can create jobs in specific sectors, but for every job you create in a specific sector, in green jobs or road construction or what have you, there's a job lost somewhere else.
JD, I don't know how much you focused on this issue, but it's come up several times in the debate over the cap and trade program being proposed by congressional Democrats and endorsed by President Obama, and that's the creation of the green jobs you just mentioned. Some say this is the wave of our future. This is the area we need to focus on. Others say you're going to lose twice as many jobs as you create because you're going to be forcing jobs out of the manufacturing sector and so forth. What can you tell us about what the strongest and most reliable projections can show in that area?
Well, what we know is that the economy is going to create the most jobs when it is allowed to perform according to the directives of the marketplace. When the government comes in and starts telling the economy what to do, you will create certain jobs where they're telling the economy to create jobs. If you throw a few billion dollars at the green manufacturing industry, you'll create jobs in that industry. But you'll be destroying jobs elsewhere in the economy, not just by distorting the production processes in the economy itself, but by the borrowing that you have to do to create those jobs in the first place. So we will never know how many jobs are lost and how many are created by this green jobs technology. What we do know is that when government intervenes in this fashion, the economy suffers. And so you're going to have net job loss, and it could be very significant job loss by virtue of the president deciding where the economy should grow. If governments were very good at deciding where economies should grow, the Soviet Union would have won and we would have lost.
JD, in addition to all these other issues we've been focusing on, one thing that's for sure is that we're going to be looking at massive deficits for the foreseeable future. And as a result of that, there's been increased talk this week of perhaps pursuing what's known as a value-added tax. Explain to our listeners exactly what that is and whether that would be a good thing to pursue.
Well, a value-added tax, as they are talking about it, is a sophisticated form of a national sales tax. And aside from the technical dimensions of it, that's really all you need to know to understand what's going on with this. It's effectively a very sophisticated national sales tax that has the advantage from President Obama's perspective of being able to raise enormous amounts of money. It is a moneymaker of the first order, which is why it's so popular in Europe and so popular by President Obama. He has put us on a track in this country so that even under the optimistic assumptions of his budget, the deficit never gets below $650 billion, which is an entirely unsustainable amount. And then on top of that, he wants to have this enormous expansion of spending for health care, which he has to finance. They can't get this kind of money out of the income tax. They simply can't do it. There aren't enough wealthy people out there to tax, and there are too many people who are not on the tax roll, so the money isn't there. In order to get the deficit down without cutting spending, and in order to finance their enormous health care program, they have to have a new revenue source. There's just no two ways about it, and the best one available to them, from their perspective, is the value-added tax because it raises so much money.
And what kind of additional tax burden, then, does that put on the typical family?
Well, it would depend on the amount of the tax, but if you're talking about raising $300 billion a year and you've got 100 million families, then it's $3,000 a family on average. It is an enormous sum, an enormous burden, and you put your finger on, in a sense, the reason they're having to do this. We have, through Republicans and Democrats alike, created a income tax where a vast swath of the American people don't pay the tax. We've taken so many people off the tax rolls that when the Democrats want to come along and raise taxes, there isn't enough tax base left. The only people left on the tax rolls, as a practical matter, are upper-middle-income and upper-income taxpayers, and there's only so much money you can squeeze out of them. You can't squeeze enough to get the deficit down and pay for health care, so they have to have another revenue source. And again, that's the value-added tax in President Obama's mind. We think the way to address this is to reform the health care system without expanding the size of government and get the budget deficit down by cutting some of the spending that he's added to the government. We spend so much money, which is what's causing this budget deficit, we need to cut back the spending and cut it back quite dramatically.
JD, there hasn't been a formal piece of legislation introduced for the value-added tax, but there is one for cap and trade, which most experts say would impose a very substantial energy tax on the American people, anywhere from $1,500 to $3,000 or maybe even more per year per household on that. So if you slap the value-added tax on top of this, it seems as though people are drowning in their own red ink while the government tries to get out of theirs.
That's exactly right. If we were to enact all the tax hikes the president proposed in his budget, plus the value-added tax, plus the cap-and-trade tax, we would begin to make France and Germany look like low-tax countries. This is a very dangerous place to be in. The economy cannot sustain that. The American family cannot sustain that. The problem is the president wants to make government the dominant force in our economy and in our lives. That's wrong. We should shrink the government. If we want to have a cap-and-trade system, I think that's going to be extremely damaging to the economy, but under no circumstance should it be used as a tax revenue device.
About a minute left here with J.D. Foster of the Heritage Foundation. And J.D., you were talking a moment ago about what the right way is, and that's in one step, you said, reforming the healthcare system without greatly expanding government to do so. What are some of the other bullet points here to get the economy on the right road?
Well, we've got a wide range of programs in which we're going to have to get significant spending cuts, and we need to do that to convince the credit markets that we're serious about the budget deficit, and then we need to go even further because it is in large part our heavy tax burden on capital, on savings and investment in this country that's preventing the economy from recovering its strength. That plus the fact that the president has said he wants to raise taxes on the forces of our economy that are our strength, investment, entrepreneurial spirit, small businesses, suggesting even in the future, in the near future, that you're going to raise taxes on these people at this time is the way to make sure that the recovery happens far out into the future, that we stay weakened in the economy for a very long time. We need to make clear we're not raising taxes on anyone right now. We're not raising taxes on anyone in the near future. In fact, we're going to look for ways to cut taxes, and we can afford to do that because we cut spending.
J.D., unfortunately, our time is up. Great to have you with us again, sir, and thanks so much for your time and your insight.
Thank you very much.
J.D. Foster, Senior Fellow in Economic Policy at the Heritage Foundation. This is Dateline Washington.